when you see some designers like online, you think, oh, like this is what it means to be a designer. Like you have to care about these really specific things and have this kind of furniture or whatever and like dress this way. And I mean, it's just so broad. Like designers have so many different backgrounds, so many different skill sets. You can approach a problem in so many different ways. So it really is a pretty flexible career in that way. But it took me a long time to realize that and realize that my skill sets were, you know, were really valuable anyways, even if I didn't feel like I totally fit in.
Hola and welcome to episode 12 of Latinx is Who Design. I am your host, Michelle Fajeda, a Brazilian designer living in Sydney, Australia. Thank you for listening. Our goal is to highlight Latinx designers from all backgrounds, shapes, colors, and sizes, sharing their stories and struggles to inspire the next generation of designers. This podcast is made for you. So if you have questions, send them over. DM me at LatinxWhoDesign on Twitter or record a message on anchor.fm/LatinxWhoDesign/message. This week, I had the pleasure of chatting with Elena Jaramillo. Elena is an Ecuadorian product design lead at Coda, a new doc for teams. Prior to joining Coda, she has held design roles at technology and consumer companies such as Google, Facebook, Etsy, Khan Academy, and TransferWise. She values collaboration, inclusion, and creating tools that empower people. Although she's originally from Ecuador, she has lived in many places like Switzerland, London, and several parts of the US. And now, Elena Jaramillo. Hi, Elena.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good.
Awesome. Awesome. Elena, would you mind telling me where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm in upstate New York in a city called Syracuse, New York. It's kind of close to Canada.
Nice. I used to live in Canada. That's pretty cool. Have you ever been?
I actually have never been to Canada.
But I'm imagining it's as cold as the city that I used to live in, which is Ottawa. Because, I mean, it's upstate New York, so I would imagine it's that cold.
Yeah, it's very cold, very snowy. It's May now and we're only just getting springtime, so.
Oh, wow. How are you dealing with that? Do you like it? Is it a place you already can call home?
Well, I grew up here partly, and we moved back during COVID. So it's okay, but you don't really, I don't know, I never really got used to these winters. And especially after you've lived away for these kind of winters for a long time, then it becomes even more unusual to live in such a place.
And where are you from originally?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Ecuador. So I was born in Ecuador, and I moved actually here kind of to the States, to the United States officially when I was 6 years old, but I've always lived in between, well, growing up, I lived in between Ecuador and the US, up until I was like 21 or so. So I moved back and forth a lot.
Nice. And would you mind telling, our listeners, what is your role and which company do you work for?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm Helena. I'm a design lead at Coda, and Coda is a new doc for teams. And yeah, I'm currently doing kind of IC design work and design managing as well.
And how do you like the hybrid role with the IC and management at the same time?
Well, I recently kind of transitioned to design lead, so I'm still learning about it. how to do the management part and how to work both things. So yeah, it's definitely a pretty big change. I know somebody else on your podcast talked about it recently. Desi, I think, kind of talked about that as well. But yeah, it's definitely very different than just doing IC, that's for sure.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I've dealt with a similar situation. I completely understand. Could you tell me, well, first of all, for the people who don't know, so you said Coda is documents for teams, but could you explain a little more what the company does and maybe tell me what does a week look like in your work?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, Coda is kind of like an all-in-one doc. So you would use it the same ways that you might use a spreadsheet, something like Google Docs, but also something like a small app. So you can have really powerful things like advanced formulas. You can add buttons. You could add integrations to external apps like Figma or Slack. But you can also just take notes of it. So it's kind of like an all-in-one doc, and you can use it for personal scenarios, but you can also use it for team scenarios. So that's kind of the complete Coda, the complete Coda tool. And then within that, we split our teams into, kind of three primary teams: the core document experience team that really thinks about how the doc editor works. Then we have another team that's called the business platform team. They think about how teams really should utilize Coda. And then the team that I work on is called the ecosystem team. And we think about how Coda can extend beyond the doc surface. So we work on things like publishing. So how do you share out a Coda doc? We also work on things like, we call them packs, which are essentially our plugins. So how do you integrate Coda with external services? That's a bit about Coda. And then a week at Coda, definitely varies. But right now as a design lead there, it kind of goes in between, holding design crits both for my team and also attending crits of other teams and sharing work, giving feedback. And then a lot of kind of like product focused meetings as well in terms of, figuring out what features we're going to build and prioritize and so forth. And then sometimes a little bit of design time as well.
Nice. Do you have a favorite design ritual that you do with your team?
Ooh, a favorite design ritual. So recently we, my design team is pretty small, but we're now four designers in total, including myself. And so before we had a design crit that was just like the entire design team, which is 11 designers. But recently we started doing like a little design jam just with my team. And that's been really nice. It's like, it's not quite a crit. So I try to make it pretty explicit that it's not really a crit. It's like more casual than that. And so the idea is to really like promote sharing low fidelity work and just if you have questions about things. So that's like 1 hour a week that we use to kind of just make sure that our work is aligned, but share more in a more casual way, especially if people are just curious about something. So that's one ritual, which kind of relates to another ritual that we have as well, which is, I really like the ability to just ask questions as a way to make space for things. So at Coda, we have these different terms that we use for like stages in a project. And one of the stages in a project, we call a wallow stage. And so when you're wallowing in something is when you're just like, you're kind of like just swimming in it. You're just sitting in it. You have so many thoughts. You don't really know where it's going yet. And you're just kind of like sitting in a big pile of thoughts. And so I really love that phrase to like wallow in something. And so it can be really helpful to like have a design jam and just say like, hey, like I just need to wallow about this. And you know that you're not really going to get anywhere and everyone can just kind of like bear with you as you think about stuff. So that's definitely something that I like, making space for things like that.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. So, that was a great, but that, by the way, I love that ritual of just wallowing about something and not expecting something in return. It's just great. So we're going to go back to the past, all the way to the beginning. Could you take me back to what got you started in design? What really was the spark for you?
Yeah. I guess like a few things that kind of led up to it. I would say definitely at the very beginning, when I was around 13 or so, I started, getting into blogs. I think like many people doing the layouts for, LiveJournal and things like that, editing HTML in that way. So you know, when I look back at it, I realize, I mean, I had so much fun doing that. That allowed me to like create themes, and you would create like the photos and stuff. So I learned Photoshop through that. Like I learned Photoshop in order to be able to make the graphics for it. So looking back at that, I realize now that that was like very design centric. But at the time, I didn't know that at all. Like I never even thought of it. I never thought that that was design or anything like that. So I think only looking back can I really say, oh, you know, that was my first experience of design. But at the time, I didn't really think of it that way. But then later on in high school, I ended up I joined my high school newspaper, and I went to like a really big high school, and I actually joined as a writer. I was like an opinion editor. So I would write these like really silly opinions in the newspaper, and that was really fun. But they also needed people to design some of the layouts. And I thought, hey, like, yeah, I kind of know Photoshop from before. Maybe I'll try it. And then I ended up really loving designing the layouts, and they ended up giving me like my own section where I could like make like 5-page spreads and things like that. And I just thought that was so awesome. And again, I think at that time, I still didn't really know that that was design. I just thought, hey, this is so fun. Like you can put other people's stuff together in a way that makes sense. And that's really cool. Like I realized that I actually didn't even like writing that much. I just liked like seeing it all come together, and I liked having it printed out. And I liked just kind of seeing that product as a whole. So I think those were kind of like the two things that were kind of happening, but I still didn't really realize. And then finally, when I went to college, So I was living here in the States, but I'm from Ecuador, and I didn't have an American residency or anything like that. So anyways, as like many people here in the States, I had a lot of like visa problems. And when you have a lot of visa problems like that, what can happen is that it puts you in like a really pragmatic state of mind. You really think, what's the most practical solution? What can I do with like my very limited resources? And those resources, you know, it can be like financial, but also just like you have limited options in general. So because of that, I ended up going to this like community college around here, actually in upstate New York, where they just had like very limited sets of classes that I could choose from. And those one of the classes that I ended up choosing was computer science, mostly because it was like, I thought it might be a challenging class. It was like one of the more interesting classes that the college had. So I started taking those classes, and I was like, well, I love computers. Like I've always loved, you know, I definitely consider myself like raised by the internet kind of stuff. So I thought, well, this is great. Like I would definitely like to be a person who creates technology, but I'm definitely not a programmer. Like that's not going to happen. So I did a bit of that. I thought for a while that maybe I could turn myself into a programmer, but that, you know, that did not pan out. So eventually I transferred to a program that was kind of a hybrid of all these things. It was like coding, but a little bit of design and art and video and audio. So it just had like a combination of all these fun things. It just gave me the ability to like, just combine everything and make things. And I think ultimately I just wanted to make stuff. And I think still I never thought, oh, I'm going to be a designer. I just thought I'm going to make things for the web. Like I'm going to make things on a computer and like, hopefully people can see them. And that's, that's kind of what I was thinking. Probably actually until a few years into my design career, I learned design on the job, you know, so I didn't end up studying it. So while I was in school, I went to school near New York City. At some point during my college education, I finally got my American residency. So that was a really, really big moment for me because it actually allowed me to apply for a job legally. The moment that happened, I basically like ran around New York City and I applied to all of the internships that I could apply to. And it was like a very broad spectrum. It was like graphic design, like UI design, social media, like it was everything. And my only constraint was like, somebody's going to pay me. Somebody has to pay me something for me to do this internship. And I applied to just so many internships. And I wasn't even really focused on tech. It was whatever, everything. And eventually a tech startup gave me an internship that they paid me for. and that was really my first foray into it. They actually hired me as a graphic design intern. And 1 month into the graphic design internship, the graphic designer quit. Really, really nice guy. And the company was super amazing. And they said, well, why don't you stay on, but we'll put you under our product designer. And I was like, okay. I mean, to me, I really did not know. I was like, if you're going to pay me, I'll do it. It's fine. And so they put me under the product designer and my role changed. And they said, okay, you're a product design, or like, they, I think it was like a UX design intern at the time. And yeah. And then that was really when I was like, oh, okay. Like, people design this stuff on the web. Like, I think my first project was like a sign up modal. And I was like, got it. Like, it seems like there's a job in this. And it kind of combined a lot of the things that I had been interested in. So yeah, a lot of little things.
That's amazing. I mean, what a great story. So from that company, was that Giftly? Am I saying that correctly? Was that the first...
That was there was a company right before that called Animoto.
Animoto, okay. So after Animoto, because what I noticed too, very similar to my story, is you moved a lot, Elena.
Yeah.
So I would love you to get into that a little bit. What you know, what brought on these moves? You know, how are you this? Are you okay with moving a lot? How do you feel about it? Or did you feel it was actually something that was beneficial for you?
Yeah. Moving. So I moved a lot. and like I said, like, growing up, I moved in between Ecuador and the States. So that was always kind of normal for me. And even when I lived in the States, I lived in upstate New York, and then I moved in Colorado, and I went to like 4 different high schools in Ecuador and the States. And I even did some college in Ecuador. So anyway, so that has always just kind of been part of my life in some ways. And then, once I started kind of like my early career, even with my internships, my very first internship was in New York City because it was close to my school. So I commuted. So I was like studying and doing, working at the same time. And then, my second internship was then in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And that was really just like a stroke of luck. I was dating somebody at the time who was also going to San Francisco. And we said, hey, let's share a place, because otherwise you really couldn't afford to be in San Francisco. And then since then, I've had jobs. My first job out of college was in Zurich. And then after that, I had a job in London. And then after that, I had a job in San Francisco again. And now I'm remote. And yeah, for me, it's really been definitely something that I've wanted to do, and definitely something that has been beneficial for me personally. I think there's a number of benefits. Like, I mean, one, like, I love experiencing different places. So, for example, when I graduated from college and I was offered this job in Switzerland, in Zurich, I really didn't care what the project was. It ended up being a project that I did not love very much, but it was an amazing opportunity to live in Switzerland. And, you know, at the time I had never been to Europe before. I was fresh out of college, so I felt like that was just a great opportunity for me to do that. And then after Zurich, when I moved to London, I thought, well, eventually I might come back to the States, so leaving in London would be nice. and there's a few things related to that. Like, yes, personally, I like moving to all these places. I think the other really amazing thing has been, like, my entire career has been in tech since that tech internship that paid me. And so one thing that can be, especially if you've worked at a company in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley, you can really have this start thinking, oh, all of tech is in Silicon Valley. Or like, if you scroll through Twitter, you might think, oh, everybody who works in tech or does, you know, tech design is in Silicon Valley. And Of course, that's not right. Yeah, of course, that's not right. And everybody knows that. But it's just so striking how that really is embedded in the tech culture in some ways. And obviously, amazing work happens all over the world. There are amazing designers and creators all over the world. And, you know, they're not always like maybe publicizing it as much or, you know, but yeah, amazing teams, amazing companies. And so I think that's something that has been awesome to see. You know, I mean, I worked at an American company in Switzerland. I worked at Google in Switzerland. But even so, I mean, the office there was, you know, so diverse. It's still a really different way of working. Just because you're an American company, people are very different. Like things happen differently. And then in London, I worked at a company called TransferWise, which is actually founded by Estonian guys. And so it was very much like Estonian culture, but it was in the UK. So it was super diverse. And they actually had, I don't know if so much so, it's still like this, but they were very adamant about being like, we're not in Silicon Valley. Like we are a European startup and, you know, we're making awesome things. And so I think, yeah, that's been really great to see. And I really appreciated that as part of my experience. You know, that might not have happened if I hadn't like pushed myself to be moving around like that.
That's such a great story, by the way. I love it. And I mean, great companies too. So you worked at Etsy, you worked at Facebook, you worked at Google. And like you said, New York, California, Switzerland, London. So I mean, a very good, diverse history. One of the things that makes me, think when I read that is, did you get anything from these different cultures and did you take it with you? Or did you think any of these cultures influenced you in any way?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny because my first two full-time jobs were outside of the States. And now coming back to the States, it was kind of like, oh, right. Like I have to kind of deal with the States culture again. But
readjust completely.
Exactly.
I imagine.
Readjust completely. And I grew up here, but working professionally is totally different than, you know, being, you know, a teenager. So I think that the big takeaways for me, one is like, work-life balance. You know, I think definitely in Europe, definitely in Switzerland, when you're on vacation, you're on vacation. You definitely work, but then you enjoy your life. And it's so not looked down upon to say, hey, like I'm working, but then I'm going to go do this thing. Like those are two separate things. And, you know, you don't have to really worry about that. So I think that like work-life balance and just not really like glorifying your job, like being good at your job, but not, you know, not having to say, hey, this is like the thing that defines me. I think that was something, especially from Switzerland, you know, where people are just having a great time. but really like having that great work-life balance. And then I think from the UK and from working at TransferWise in London, I think the thing that really stood out for me there was just how kind of direct the culture was. In the States, it can be a little bit more like you have to like land things in a much more like, you know, maybe there's like more politics or you always have to be like complimenting and then saying something else. you know, so it's a little bit more, it's a little bit less direct essentially. And so I think, you know, in the UK, it was a lot more direct. It was a lot more like, here's what we're doing. And maybe that was just TransferWise, but that was really my experience there. That was something that I really appreciated and something that worked really, really well for me personally. And something that I try to be clear now when I work with people, I often say, hey, like, I'm going to be direct. Like, you know, please tell me when, you know, it doesn't feel right or anything like that. But otherwise, you know, this is kind of what I'm bringing to the table.
I love it. I worked, I lived in the Netherlands and I worked with booking.com there. And you get that directness too. And the other thing that you get, which you mentioned, was that work-life balance. One of the things that was so interesting for anyone coming from a different country. So I'm from Brazil, but I lived, you know, in other places. So going to work in the Netherlands and seeing, you know, these emails pop up on your inbox saying it's sunny today, so we're taking the day off. And I'm like, okay, all right, okay, that's new for me.
Yeah.
Elena, So you mentioned what got you into design, but I need to ask you, what inspires you to still be in design today and in tech today?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting because I think, yeah, for sure, I think the longer you're kind of in this industry, the more obviously, you know, the more you're like aware of all the problems that it has and all the issues that it has. But I think for me, what definitely keeps me in tech is, I definitely what I do vibe with in some regards with the Silicon Valley stuff is like, I do like that idealism to some extent. I mean, it definitely has its downfalls, but I think, I guess like ultimately I do believe like that we can make good technology that like it really does impact people's lives. Like it's like very much the day to day of how people will experience either their work or parts of their social life these days. So I just think it's like just so vitally important. And it's just something that I take with like a lot of responsibility in that sense. You know, just how much impact we can really have at this, like at this scale. It's really quite scary in some regards, but it also gives me a lot of like, things to aspire to really in terms of like how we can improve things or how we can make things maybe just slightly less bad, how we can make a process just a little bit easier. You know, so it doesn't even have to be like these grandiose aspirations, but, that's kind of one side of it. It's like, I like creating technology. And I think that we can do good things if, you know, we're like responsible and thoughtful. And then on the other side, you know, as my career has changed a little bit now and I'm managing, and, you know, doing more kind of things like that, I definitely see it in some ways too as a way of kind of like giving back, I guess, to, you know, maybe like a designer like me when I was, you know, younger, you know, many years ago. I can be now hopefully the kind of manager that I would have wanted, or, you know, I can be like a mom and a Latina and like a very emotional person at work. And hopefully that makes it like a more comfortable space for other people. And so I definitely feel that a little bit as well. That's like, you know, I think tech needs more people like me. So I might it. As well stick around.
That's great. I love that. And actually, so one of my favorite questions, which you kind of already hinted at, this is great. You just basically gave me my segue, Elena. So if you could talk to yourself when you started out and you could, you know, I could give you a time machine and connect you today to you, you know, when you were starting out in your career, what would you say to yourself? What advice would you give to yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I think the one main thing is coming into the industry, especially once I started getting some of these like more like, you know, like more prestigious internships or whatever. Like, you know, once I started getting an internship, for example, like at Facebook or at Etsy, which was like, I mean, a huge deal for me. You know, I didn't study design. Like I never thought that I'd like ever be getting paid that much at an internship, for example. But being in those spaces, you know, I was with, you know, especially something like a Facebook internship. When I was an intern at Facebook, there was only 7 other design interns in the entire thing. And these people were awesome designers already going to, you know, really, really great design schools. And I just felt like I was so far behind. So in general, I just felt like, especially breaking into the industry, I just felt like a lot of awkwardness, a lot of like, oh, like I just don't fit in, or like I don't know enough, or I don't have enough context, or like, you know, sometimes I even felt like, man, like, am I even like interested in exactly the same things they're interested in. Like I was definitely interested like a lot in technology in general, but like, did I always want to like nerd out on exactly the same things? So I don't know. I just felt like such a strong urge to be like exactly like some designer archetype from the beginning. And I think that that took a long time for me to realize like that that was never going to happen, but that I could be a designer anyways. And the actually designer is like a very, very broad, there's so many different types of designers. I think maybe that's really the first piece of advice that I would say, kind of stemming from that awkward feeling. Like when you see some designers like online, you think, oh, like this is what it means to be a designer. Like you have to care about these really specific things and have this kind of furniture or whatever and like dress this way. And I mean, it's just so broad. Like designers have so many different backgrounds, so many different skill sets. You can approach a problem in so many different ways. So it really is a pretty flexible career in that way. But it took me a long time to realize that and realize that my skill sets were, you know, were really valuable anyways, even if I didn't feel like I totally fit in.
100%. That's awesome. And so you mentioned it a little bit, but would you tell me what kind of challenges you think you faced by coming from a Latino background and just, you know, maybe by your heritage or maybe by your name? Do you ever notice any specific challenges in your career that you had to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, a lot of the challenges have been maybe more like around like the mindset of how I approach certain things. And I guess like to be more specific, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I feel like I'm like just very pragmatic. And a lot of that, I think, comes from like, you know, growing up very working class, having a lot of immigration issues throughout my entire life growing up up until I got my green card, having, you know, I think growing up, at least for me in my Latino household, just having this mentality that like, you have to like work really, really hard. And it's like all about the work and there's no time to like have a little think about something, else. and that actually like, you know, you should pay your dues and like paying your dues is important. So there's just like a lot of like cultural stuff like that, that I think for me, like didn't really give me space to think about, hey, like, I can be creative, like I can make art, you know, I can, you know, like choose a job, like not just because it's going to pay me a lot of money, but maybe because like I'm also passionate about the topic area and things like that. So I think for me personally, the challenges have been like more about like my mindset coming into things and then how that fits into the mindset of like how other people are working. So like I tend to be like really scrappy and I just kind of like get things done. And that has worked for me in the end. But I think at times it was difficult for me to be like, oh, I'm going to like, you know, take some time to be creative or like, things more like that. It can just be kind of difficult to sometimes mesh that personality with people who are coming from like, you know, more like design or art backgrounds.
Yeah, that's great. Those are hard challenges to overcome. But again, you've from what I see from, you know, your resume, you had all these great companies and, you know, traveled, lived all over the world. Do you ever feel like you made it?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, especially coming, like I'm in the city now where I kind of grew up in, and I lived here after high school. And yeah, there are so many things that I never thought would be possible. You know, my situation where I'm at now, you know, I mean, I had a lot of crappy jobs making pitas and waitressing for really, really bad restaurants. And yeah, you know, I took a lot of time out from school just to work in order to save money to go to school. So yeah, like in some regards, I'm definitely like always thinking back to that and, you know, definitely like appreciating where I'm at. But then it also gives me a lot of thoughts of like, hey, you know, like how can I, you know, support others who are like in that situation now? But at the same time, you know, I also think, yeah, like now that I'm here, like now what? It's like, okay, how can I like make sure that I'm like creating a great environment for my team, or like actually making tech industry more inclusive, or like, you know, what happens now? And like, what is like the next thing after this? And obviously I hope like my career grows and all that, but, I feel like, it's already a lot more than I expected, I think, from the beginning.
So do you feel there's an added pressure to the, you know, Latinos, Latinas, to not only make it, but now also help others achieve their goal?
Yeah, totally. And I've heard people talking about this kind of subject, like, you know, whether it's like, yeah, Latinos or Latinas or people of color who are like, oh, like now you have to like bear the burden of this and like join the design or join like the diversity and equity board and things like that. And there are some things, for example, that I've seen some tweets lately, for example, being like, hey, like relieve yourself the burden of joining the diversity and equity board. And I think that like I'm totally on board with that general mentality, because it is definitely not like our problem to solve per se, right? So it's I'm conflicted in my mind for sure, because I don't want to have that added burden because I know other people don't. At the same time, I feel like a lot of people helped me out. You know, a lot of people gave me that first design internship. A lot of people gave me advice. And, you know, so like, how could I not pay that back, you know?
100%. I get you. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think is your design superpower?
Yeah, my design superpower.
Or if you prefer, what makes you unique, Elena?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I feel like it's definitely changing in some ways. Like definitely for most of my career, I would have said, you know, like research, really trying to understand, like running all sorts of research, really trying to understand people, how they're using our products or not using them. And I just really love that. Like I love having conversations with folks and trying to understand things. And then ultimately like coming back to my team and like, you know, being the voice of the user and all that. I think that's definitely been something that's been really core to me. But I think actually like now, you know, as I've grown as a designer, I think like before I had I was really able to like ground a lot of my opinions in that user research. And I was always like, very like, well, here's what the data says and here's what the user research says. And like, now I have a really strong opinion about it. And I was good about having that strong opinion. And now, I feel like I'm able to develop, you know, obviously still opinions, you know, guided by user research and data, but also just like more context just from the team or from, you know, what I see, you know, in the market, or if there's something going on in the company, I'm able to kind of like gather that and like put it back out there. So I think just like having a strong voice and being able to communicate that to my team, whether it's like, you know, on behalf of the user or like maybe on behalf of something else that's going on in my team or just something that I see that I feel strongly about in the product. I would say that's kind of been my superpower lately.
Awesome. That's great. So big question to end it all. You said, of course, you know, we all feel the need to help support the group that is coming up behind us and hold the door. What would you say to the designers out there starting out or someone back in Ecuador, you know, who is thinking about a design career or trying to get in tech? What would be your advice or something you can pass on from your career that you can help them, you know, take away with them?
Yeah. I would say like there's, you know, there's plenty of space for you. There's plenty of space for you, you know, for you to bring like what you're going to bring to the table, you know. And I think and that can come in many forms when you're breaking into the industry, whether it's like working on personal projects is something that I think is always awesome. And like putting those personal projects in your portfolio, really highlighting topics that are important to you. And also being kind of focused on like, and you know, I think maybe again, because I'm a very practical person, like, you know, be practical about it as well. Like bring yourself to it, but like, you know, reach out to people, like see who's hiring, like cold email people, you know, see what companies are more likely to like sponsor visas, for example. You know, so I feel like having both of those kind of edges of like, there's plenty of space for you to bring, you know, your full self here and really highlighting that, like, you know, not being shy about that. You don't need to be like the whole complete picture. You know, I think sometimes I talk to, you know, to incoming designers who, you know, want to make sure that they're like saying all the right things and want to be like the whole complete picture. And it's totally okay not to be, you know, you have your strengths, like let us see what those strengths are, like what those passions are. Yeah. And then like, and reach out to people and reach out to people, I would say, whether it's like in a cold email or on Twitter or, you know, emailing the contact at companies, you know, I think that still goes a really long way.
Awesome. That's great advice. So, email companies, get to know them. I mean, talk to people on Twitter, I guess, reach out to Elena. Oh, I forgot to ask one thing. So you were part of the Figma Config conference, and I wanted to know, how was that?
Yeah, it was exciting. Yeah, I prepared a talk kind of talking about one of the projects that I worked on. So it was very like, here's my design project that I'm exposing to a lot of people, which was a little bit scary because we really get into the details there. And, you know, whenever you design something, you know all of its flaws. So, you know, it can be scary to kind of expose that. But no, it was amazing. The Figma team was so well organized and made me feel really, you know, supported throughout the whole process. And then I think the best part was just afterwards getting feedback from a lot of people, just, you know, saying how it resonated. And I think ultimately that was just my goal overall, was just to say like, hey, like, this is my experience. Maybe you've had a similar experience.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, Elena, thanks a lot for taking the time and coming and sharing your story to everyone. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, really nice meeting you as well.
Hey, I almost forgot. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe. Also, rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Thank you.